The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John and James and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
"Who touched you? Who touched you? What do you mean, who touched you? We're hurrying along a busy street accompanied by this great mob. Someone to see if you can heal this girl. Others are friends and family of Jairus, leading us. They're all curious about you. You must just be thankful that the paparazzi haven't been invented."
"TJ! We're squeezed into this narrow street, already busy with people doing business or shopping. Who hasn't touched you? They're all curious about you. We're in a hurry. Let's just get on." But, as always, Jesus knew different. He wasn't jostled, but had been deliberately touched. He'd felt the power of response to a silent cry of faith. Who was it that needed him? We are considering, as we unpack our verse for the year, how ordinary people are transformed by being with Jesus. We began with the unschooled ordinary people of Peter and John, who suddenly become stars of the court as they justify their actions. Last week we had the centurion with faith in an unseen, unmet Jesus. And today we have this woman creeping up on Jesus. So let's look at what's happening in today's episode. The setting for this story is about healing. And actually that's been the setting for the other weeks that we've been looking. All 3 weeks have been in the context of healing. Peter and John were up before the religious court because they had healed a beggar in the name of Jesus. The centurion story was about healing under the authority of Jesus' word. And today we have a double healing. What brings these ordinary people to the notice of others is the evidence they present of how being with Jesus, having faith in Jesus, has changed them, and often changed them or others in a spectacular way. Jesus brings about change. For the sick, it's healing. For the timid, it's courage. For the unlearned, it is wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't always the same thing as learning, but generally wisdom is better than learning. Peter and John also brought healing because they'd been with Jesus. They didn't heal people themselves. That was the point. They healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was the reason they were hauled up for court. Healing is a part of our Christian ministry as the Church of Christ. It plays a bigger part in their life than others. But praying for healing is open to all who have been with Jesus. However, unless we're trained medics, we're not skilled in bringing healing. We don't do it. God alone heals by faith. And if you like, we're just the ambulance men and women who carry people to Jesus in prayer. It's not the touch of our hands. Touch is an important way of emphasizing prayer sometimes. But it's not us who are the healers. We give glory to God when people are healed. And much of the healing that goes on is gentle. Because sometimes healing is needed in relationships, in our emotions, as well as our physical needs. And miracles still happen in our day. But we need to remember that the very definition of a miracle is a rare event. A rare event in some way to increase faith in the life of someone else. But the healing ministry is one of the ways that ordinary people are transformed by being with Jesus. Now, there is a problem that we can encounter when we feel our prayers are not answered. But I can't possibly deal with that this morning. It's a big question, and we have earmarked next Sunday night in our Prayer Unlimited, Feb the 2nd, to deal with that very question of unanswered prayer, because it's a big subject. So make a note next Sunday night if you want to think more about why some prayers aren't answered. What is true is that some prayers are answered and people are transformed by Jesus. So what about this woman? She was an outsider. She was banished from the fellowship of God's people by those same people who claimed to be God's people. If a woman had an issue of blood, obviously a regular occurrence, she was deemed unclean, and while it happened, could not attend worship. This woman had had an issue of blood that hadn't stopped for 12 years. Physically debilitating, it had left her in poverty. Luke glides over that. Mark and Matthew are very clear. No one could heal her, and she had spent all her money on doctors. But we're fairly certain Luke was a doctor, and he doesn't want people to know that she'd spent all her money on doctors. That didn't sound right. What was important? So he misses that bit out. No, they don't need to hear that bit. He drops it. But also, she'd not only had the physical problem, the financial problems, she had a spiritual problem as well. The restitution she needed to be part of the people of God. So she was worried. How could an outsider be acceptable to a holy man like Jesus? She had no nerve to ask, even though she had faith that Jesus had the power. She didn't have a great understanding of faith as being much different to superstition. So many people get hung up in their Christian faith with feelings of unworthiness, of not being accepted. Christ is there to bring grace to all. I had a chap come to me and say, about him and his wife, he said, we feel we've grown in our Christian faith. So have you noticed we're sitting three rows nearer the front of church? I said, why is that? He said, because the nearer you get to the front of church, the holier you are. Well, I think perhaps we should encourage that idea, but I don't really think it's true. I hope it's not, because here I am. Right, and I wouldn't claim to be the holiest by a long way. If I touch the hem of his gown, the magic may happen. And the remarkable thing, of course, is it did work. She felt immediately different. But it wasn't what Jesus wanted. For him, faith was about relationship, about persons, about knowing the person you trust. So the whole circus comes to a halt. To her utter shame, she has to admit who she is, her need, and her recovery. But in so doing, she's brought face to face with Jesus. No more superstition about his power, but a recognition of the person she has faith in. We never hear of her again, but her faith has done more than heal her illness. Daughter, says Jesus, accepted, welcomed, loved. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. More than a physical healing, a spiritual restoration with Christ. You see, she touched Jesus, but in a far more profound way, Jesus touched her. And for the rest of her life, she need only think of what had happened to her to be sure of the trust she could have in Jesus. Jesus touched her life. And people are to notice us, not as eccentrics, but of those who've been touched by Jesus. How do other people perceive you and I wonder, as being touched by Jesus? It all seems a lovely story, but hang on. Jesus was going with a very important person for a very important purpose. Jairus was a local bigwig. His daughter's illness was chronic. And Jesus had stopped for all this rigmarole with that silly woman. Jesus had seen things differently. This woman's need was immediate and important too. Jesus doesn't consider people by their wealth, their influence, or their position, but as children of God. We, the ordinary people touched by Jesus, have to order our lives by the same priorities. I've heard in some Christian circles that we should, as Christians, target the most important people with the good news of Jesus, because they can influence other people. But better in Jesus' eyes is to act out that all people are equally important to God. Some things are urgent and need to be done now. Some things are important and have to be done. And what's important and urgent we need to do now. And that needs us walking in step with God's Spirit, being with Jesus in the moment. You see, for Jesus, dealing with this woman was more urgent and important than sorting out Jairus. But if I live like that, isn't it going to be too late to do some things? See, we delayed and the girl dies. But Jesus still trusts in the overarching purpose of his Heavenly Father. And whenever Jesus brings people back to life, it's to point out that even in death and beyond, there is resurrection, which is what Jesus will bring about. So that we need to remember, nothing is so important to be outside the notice of God. It's not too late. Only if we ignore the promptings of the Spirit. And I can think immediately of two occasions where I felt God was nudging me, and I should have done things then and forgotten what I thought was important, because that was too late. What's important and what God wants done, even if it seems minor, is to be done at his prompting, at his timing. It's not too late for the little girl. The touch of Jesus restores order and peace amidst the wailing chaos that's going on. Talitha Kumi, the Hebrew, or probably realistically the Aramaic. Little girl, arise. And she is touched by Jesus. And so is the rest of the family. Things can still be sorted. In God's economy, time can never be the final arbiter. Of course it was inconvenient for Jesus to have stopped. But we will not demonstrate the great love of God for all, nor show the change that being with Jesus brings, if we still live by the world's agenda. If we're still unwilling to put ourselves out late on Sunday night, at the end of the church service, when I'm beginning to flag, man comes up to me, "Father, can I have a word?" that normally is code for, can you give me some money? And I always had a way of dealing with it, which was, let me clear up here and we will talk. Come to the vicarage in 20 minutes. In 20 minutes, if he just wants money, he's trying somebody else. But the man came. Can you help me? Can you help me? I'm struggling as a recovering alcoholic. And I want you to pray with me. So we prayed. Put my hand up. It was going through the motions. I didn't really feel it was going to have much benefit. 3 years went past. Man calls at my door. I just wanted to say, thank you for the prayer. I'm sober. I'm working. I've joined a church fellowship in the church at the end of my road. I've met a lady and we're engaged to be married. When are you and I prepared to put ourselves out to an urgent pause to your life for the sake of someone else? Can we show care by being spontaneous? And how much do we practice listening to the leading of the Spirit? Jesus transforms those who trust in him. We should look for a continuing change in us. We should see it worked out in the lives of others. For Jesus, wholeness is more important than mere physical healing. He wants his touch to run through all our life. In the world's eyes, we may be ordinary. But pray God, many will take note that you have been with Jesus and see his touch on our lives.